Hello and welcome to this month's call for the Sales Transformation Mastermind. This is the coaching call. I'm so excited that you are here. We have some awesome questions to answer, and I really want to make sure that you listen really closely to some of the ideas that we're going to be talking about today, because even though what I find so interesting about this program is that even though some of these questions are very specific to the individual who's asking the question, the answer is strangely incredibly universal, because I hear so many of these same types of questions over and over and over again. And so I want to make sure that you really do pay close attention to the strategies, the ideas, and just as importantly, the mindsets that are necessary in order to overcome some of these sales-related hurdles. So with that said, let's just get right into it. Again, I always pull these questions right from the forum. I look around and I say, what are the questions that are going to be most useful to everyone who's sitting on this call? And so this first question comes from Patrick, who starts by saying, so Patrick sells air purifiers, and he sells door-to-door in a business-to-consumer. So he's selling air purifying systems to consumers door-to-door. This couldn't be more different than probably what a lot of people on this call are doing. I would say that most of my clients are selling business-to-business, are selling to other businesses. And so I find that a lot of times when the business-to-consumer sales folks ask me questions, they're always pointing out how my system is so different, and it's hard to kind of fit in what I teach into what they're selling. And what I want to do is I want to disprove that idea right now. So Patrick writes, you know, I'm finally understanding how sales works after stumbling across Mark. Okay, that's nice. Thank you. So he says, I sell air purifiers to homeowners and was having a bit of difficulty altering your questions to fit my door-to-door type selling. For example, how much is this costing you is hard to implement because most people don't even think of cleaning air. Long story short, the money questions are difficult. So how do I deal with that? So I want to unpack this because there's really a lot going on here. The first thing that I want to take a step back from is that clearly as a newbie in this community, Patrick is really thinking that he sells air purifiers. And anyone who has followed my line of thinking for long enough knows that whatever it is that you say you sell, you're not actually selling, right? Because the air purifier is a product. The air purifier is the solution. The air purifier is it's the feature, right? But that's not what we're selling, really, are we? And I love the example of air purifiers because it's so different. It's so outside of what I know anything about. I don't know anything about air purifiers. But I do know that what air purifiers do is they clean the air in your house. I hope that's what they do. I'm pretty sure that's what they do. And so now the question is, why does someone buy an air purifier in the first place? And the answer is that if your air in your house is great, do you buy an air purifier? No. If your air is not leading to allergies or is not leading to any kind of dangerous chemical emissions that are in the air, do you buy an air purifier? Probably not, unless you're one of those people that's just like really like, that's like your thing. You're like an air purifier person and you just want an air purifier. But that's not the majority of people that are buying air purifiers. And so what I challenge Patrick to think about, and I challenge everyone on this call to think about, is that what you sell, the product or service that you actually sell, is not what people are really buying. Right? And so again, I love this example because an air purifier, what they're really buying is the solution to not clean air. And so again, I'm like completely out of my depth in terms of knowledge about air purifiers, but I can imagine that the real reasons that people are buying air purifiers is because people in their homes have a lot of allergies, or maybe they have a dog and there's a lot of dog hair around, or they live in an area where they're worried about specific chemicals or toxins in the air, and so they're purifying the air. Maybe they have a baby, maybe they have kids, maybe it's just themselves, and they're worried about some of the things that are floating around in the air, which we all know in modern society, there's some pretty nasty stuff in the air. And so when Patrick is going door to door and selling air purifiers, the conversation should be nothing to do with air purifiers. And it should be all about those key challenges, those key concerns, those key problems that people are facing that an air purifier will solve. And this is true for everything that everyone on this call sells. You do not sell the product that you sell. What you're doing is you're selling the solution to the problems that that you solve. And I want to say that one more time because it's so important. You do not sell the product or service that you're actually selling. What you're really selling are the solutions that your product you sell the solutions to the challenges that your product solves. And so this is a huge mindset shift, and this is one of the things that a lot of the new folks in my community really struggle with, because it's such a different way of looking at selling and looking at what they sell, because chances are the literature on Patrick's brochure for his company, all the stuff in the manuals or in the marketing, is all about the quality of the air purifier. And that's not what people are buying. They're buying peace of mind, knowing that the air that they're breathing is clean. They're buying sneezing less, so because the allergies are causing them discomfort. They're buying the peace of mind knowing that there's not toxins moving around, which I noticed in Patrick's post, that this is kind of an ongoing thread, and I noticed that he talked about how they'll do like a test of your house, of the toxins and all that stuff in the air. And that's really powerful, because that is a foot in the door, right? So we're talking about, yeah, people don't want to, don't want to talk about, what's this challenge costing you? Well, chances are that sounds weird, because you're talking about your product or service, Patrick. You're not talking about the challenges, because the challenges that people are facing as a result of not having clean air are catastrophic to the right people. And price is not going to be a consideration, and it's going to be costing a lot. It's going to be costing sleepless nights. It's going to be affecting their ability to do work. It's affecting their family's ability to go to school. It's there's a lot of health concerns. So it really goes very deep. And when you start to, and this goes for everyone here, as you start to move away from the focus on your product or service, which is a very me-focused mindset, instead, you want to shift to thinking about going so deep into what are the challenges that your prospects are facing. And that's going to be your angle. That's going to be how you're engaging people in the conversation. So just like as an example opening, and again, I'm making this up off the top of my head. I don't even have notes in front of me on this. I'm literally just thinking this off the top of my head. But I know that Patrick at some point in our conversation had asked, how do I actually like open the conversation? And again, it's not about the air purifying thing. It's literally, if I'm going door to door, which by the way is one of the hardest ways, of course, to sell. But if I'm going door to door, I'm thinking to myself, how do I as quickly as possible kind of connect with this person? And so what I would be doing is I would be going door to door, following around the trucks that like our service vehicles, when people are delivering or installing the air purifiers, I'd be following those around and I'd be going door to door to the neighbors in the area. And I'd be saying something along the lines of, when I knock on the doors of the neighbors of your customers, and I'd be saying, you know, something along the lines of, hi, I just wanted to introduce myself. We're currently installing an air purifying system in your neighbor so-and-so. And, you know, some of the concerns and issues that we've heard in the neighborhood are around, you know, problems with allergies, issues with toxins in the air, or lastly, just a general health concerns around air quality. Any of those issues ring true to you? Now, made that up off the top of my head, not very clean, but, you know, someone who just had you knock on the door, just open the door for you, that's a pretty powerful way to engage someone in a conversation, because now you've shown a little commonality, which is that, you know, your neighbor is a customer. It's a little social proof. It's a little, like, maybe they know that neighbor, maybe they don't, doesn't matter. But then it's also now it's like relating the concerns and problems that you solve directly to them. And what you're going to find is that the kind of the close rate on a conversation, at least before, rather than just slamming the door, is going to go really high, because that's just such a compelling opening. And now I know for a lot of folks are saying, well, I don't sell air purifiers, right? I'm selling enterprise software sales to really, really big companies. But you know what? It's the same stuff. It's the same stuff, you know. And by the way, Patrick doesn't sell air purifiers, right? Just like we established. And you don't sell software solutions to enterprises or really large companies, right? What you're doing is you're selling the solutions to the challenges that your product solves. And so it's really important to get incredibly comfortable with what are those challenges that you are solving. And so even though in this case we're talking about like one of the most down and dirty, like going door to door selling something, which is something that probably most people even on this call wouldn't even be willing to do, it's still all somewhat the same, right? Because even if you're calling on a large company and you're selling some software solution to big companies, you still are thinking about the same type of approach, right? How do I connect with someone? How do I get that foot in the door? And how do I engage them in that conversation? And it's a similar thing, right? You're focused on those challenges that you solve, and that's how we're leading with it. So, you know, for those of you who have been through Sales Strategy Academy or been through my Prospecting Blueprint or even my 9 Closing Questions Formula, or quite frankly, even if you've just followed a bunch of my videos on the Quick Training Library, you'll notice that, you know, the opening play, which is all about just engaging the customer in the conversation, what we're really doing is we're just throwing out a couple of the challenges that they're likely to be dealing with. And so it's something along the lines of, you know, my clients typically come to me when they're dealing with, you know, problem A, problem B, problem C. Do any of those issues ring true to you? It's a really powerful, simple formula that is going to open people up. So I hope that's useful. I really think it should be. You know, that's just it's so universal and so powerful. So I'm sure there's a lot of good ideas that should be percolating as a result of that. So Patrick, thank you for that. I'm psyched that you shared that. Tegan wrote a question that I thought was, I get this so often that I just want to deal with this on the phone, because I think this is and I think there's some really powerful learnings that we can talk about. So Tegan writes, hi Mark, I just completed the disqualification module of Sales Strategy Academy. By the way, Tegan, good for you on getting to that point in the academy. Tegan writes, there are still two things that I'm struggling with after determining that the prospect is in fact qualified. So two questions. Number one, what do you say to a disqualified prospect? Do you simply tell them they're not a fit? This always gets messy for me. Number two, how do you respond if they say they don't want to get the other decision makers involved? I always struggle to get with these two aspects and wondered what to do. Great questions, Tegan. A couple of thoughts. First of all, if anyone's listening to this call and they don't know what the concept of disqualify or disqualification is, you got to go to the Quick Training Library right now. In the library, which you have access to, everyone on the Sales Transformation Mastermind has access to the Quick Training Library. And I want you to just go through some of the videos, particularly on qualification, questions, and just, you know, typing keywords into that search around that and get what this idea of disqualification is. Just very briefly, you know, most sales trainers are teaching people to either persuade prospects to do business with them or at least qualifying people to do business. And I say that's all crap. Throw that out the window. It's all junk. What we really want to be doing is we want to be disqualifying prospects. We want to, one thing that I've discovered very early on in selling was that the most effective salespeople are spending the majority of their time with highly qualified prospects. And that may sound obvious, but what's not obvious about it is that what that means is that in order to spend the majority of your time with highly qualified prospects, it means that you, by definition, are getting away from unqualified prospects as quickly as possible. And that is a really powerful distinction, because what it really means is that you need to disqualify prospects who are not a fit as quickly as possible, and not lose a wink of sleep about it. You need to get away from people who are not going to buy. Some people use the term tire kickers, or just, you know, not a fit. But as soon as you determine it's not a fit, move on. And so the process for determining that is through asking the right questions. And of course, you know, through a lot of the stuff that we've gone over, that information's out there. So I'm not going to go into that. So now, with that said, I want to get into Tegan's question. So one is, what do you say to a disqualified prospect? Do you simply tell them it's not a fit? And this always gets messy for me. The reason why I'm really fascinated by this question is I get asked quite a bit by people. And, you know, the thing that I always come back to is, who gives a shit? Who cares? I don't care what you tell them. Once you determine that they're not a fit, move on. You know, I'm a big fan of the show Shark Tank, and I've actually, for a lot of the publication writing that I do, I've interviewed Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful, the bald guy on Shark Tank. I've interviewed him twice. We've met face to face, and in fact, grabbed lunch in Boston about a year ago. It was the last time I met with him, and it's so funny because he's in real life, when you actually talk to him, I mean, he's just a great, nice guy. But on the show, he comes across as such a jerk. And people always say, oh, man, that guy's, you know, he's such an asshole. He's such a jerk. And, you know, the reality is, though, is that he's right so often on that show. You know, someone's pitching a business idea, and he's like, whoa, I'm going to stop you. This is terrible. Like, quit this now, because this is a bad idea. You know, take it into the barn and put a bullet in its head. And people always say, oh, that's so mean. And it's, you know, the reality is it's not. And what he's doing, essentially, is he's disqualifying. He's just saying, look, this is bad. Move on. Go away. And you're wasting my time, because I only make money when I'm in front of people that can basically help make me money. And you don't have to be as brash or mean or vulgar or rude as maybe Kevin O'Leary may present himself as. But the reality is that I want you to have a similar mindset, which is that if someone's not a fit, move on and don't think twice about it. I was recently at my summit, and I was telling the folks at the summit about the first time that I got kicked out of a prospect's office. And there probably aren't many people on this call who have ever been actually kicked out of an office. I challenge you to actually have that experience, to When you start to realize someone's disqualified, just take them to the mat. You know, there's so often we've come across prospects that are really not qualified, and yet we hang in there because we're nice. We want to be nice. And the reality is that just like I'm saying to Tegan here and to everyone else, is get out. And you don't have to be super nice. You can be. I'm typically nice. But if I feel like someone's wasting my time, or if someone's just picking my brain to steal my information, I'm going to push back. And so if you want to say, you know what, George, I really appreciate you inviting me in, but I'm getting the sense this isn't a fit. You know, I think we should probably end this conversation. And that's certainly a nice way to do it. A little confrontational, but, you know, that's how I would do it. And then if I feel like someone is just kind of screwing around in the conversation and it's not going anywhere, and I really want to get the conversation back on track, or they're kind of pushing back on specific areas where I really need to understand what's going on, I'm the first person to say, look, you know, I really appreciate your inviting me in, but I'm getting the sense based on this that you really don't have the sales challenges that would drive you to invest in someone like myself. So I'm getting the sense this isn't a fit. Would you say that's fair? And what's interesting is it's going to have one of two effects. They're going to do one of two things. One is they're going to say, yeah, you know what, you're right. I think this isn't a fit. I appreciate you saying that. Then you look like a hero, plus you've just saved yourself any more conversation with this person who's never going to buy from you anyways. Or they're going to say, oh, no, I do feel like I need help, and here's where. Right. And then you say, well, tell me more about that. Right. Now you're back into this disqualification process. So I sense in behind this question is someone who is really concerned with hurting anyone's feelings or being mean or having someone not like them. And I challenge you to push through that. And get a little more ruthless. You know, if you feel like I'm going to talk about a question in just a minute from Jason about voicemail or about can you send me an email on this? I want people in the sales community to get ruthless. And that doesn't mean you have to be mean, but you've got to be tough. And if someone's like kind of dicking you around, I want you to call them out on that. So I hope that was useful, because I think just again, I find that the difference between the top salespeople and everyone else comes down to these mindsets, and that's what I tend to spend a lot of time on these calls talking about mindsets, because technique is great. Tegan here has the technique through the system. I mean, it's going right through the system, but what's missing, I think, are some of the mindsets behind that technique, which is what we need to hammer home. The other question that Tegan asked was, how do you respond if they say they don't want to get the other decision makers involved? Again, one of two things is happening here. One is that, by the way, I don't think I really ever had that happen to me. I'm trying to think, but I think that that hasn't happened. And if it has, it's happened maybe once or twice. And the person that said it was just a tire kicker. And so what they're really saying is, oh, we're really just not there yet. And give me your information and then I'm not ready to introduce you to the other decision maker. But the reality is, if someone is serious about talking to you, then it only makes sense to have other decision makers involved in that conversation. And so my guess is that, again, we're probably working outside of the system here. And so what's happening is that Tegan is showing up to the prospect and saying, oh, can I give you a presentation? I'd love to show you what we can do. And the prospect is not even that into it. And they're just like, oh, yeah, that's fine. And then Tegan's like, okay, so let's get the other decision makers involved too. And then the person's like, oh, no, that doesn't make sense, right? And so what's really happening is that there's nothing there because we're outside of the selling system in the first place. And then Tegan asks a question that I recommend asking, which is, who else who else should we, you know, what other folks would be involved in this decision-making process? And it was like we got to that before the prospect was there, because my guess is that Tegan is a little outside of using the selling system here. So that's just my guess. And by the way, Tegan, in the forum, feel free to respond to that if you feel differently. But that's my guess. But let's just pretend that the person you're talking to is, you know, they just say it and you are using the system. The first thing I'm thinking about is this person actually the decision maker? Are they really the person I should be talking to? One. And then two is, if I feel like they are, then I would reply with this. I would say, you know what, George, I really appreciate you telling me that. But here's the thing. I've been doing this for a long time, and I find that if I start to, go into an entire presentation and not all of those key people are part of this initial conversation, then I find that we're more likely to have missed the mark because we haven't gotten feedback from everyone else. Does that make sense? Right. So, it's not like a scripted line. I'm just off the top of my head. But what I'm doing is basically saying I'm pushing back. You have to push back at that, by the way. And I'm just saying, look, if I just go into a presentation or present the solution without really understanding everyone's thought process of what are those key challenges, it's going to be a waste of time. And so I'm saying that in a nicer way, but that's basically what I'm saying. Like, this is a waste if we don't have all the key people involved in this conversation. So my guess, though, Tegan, is that, and the reason why I shared these questions, which I think are great, by the way, is my guess is that you're being a little bit too gentle, a little too soft, and I want you to be a little firmer, a little stronger, which is why I have a feeling that I haven't heard someone say to me, I don't want to get the other decision makers involved, because I'm just incredibly strong up front. And so they just know they're not even going to get away with that with me. It doesn't even make sense. And so it's just not going to happen. So I'm guessing that that's why that hasn't happened to me. And if it has, it must have happened a long time ago, because I haven't heard that in a long time. But I'm sure that happens to a lot of people here, because, you know, you're asking these new types of questions that are nerve-wracking and difficult to ask. And so it's a little outside of our comfort zone, and people sense that when we're asking it the first couple of times, and so they recognize that they can probably push back a little bit. And so I think that might be what's happening. So, Tegan, don't struggle with these. Just, you know, again, all this stuff, it's all a big game, right? If you lose an opportunity because you were too strong, great. Great, because chances are, if you're losing opportunities because you're too strong, chances are it's going to positively affect other opportunities shortly. You know, I want us to get comfortable making mistakes, because it's the only way we're going to learn. It's the only way we're going to get better. I close $250,000 deals now because I've lost $100,000 deals years ago. And, you know, it's just part of the process. So I think you just have to be willing to take some risks here. So I hope that's helpful, Tegan, and I hope that's helpful to everyone else, because I know that other people are dealing with that issue. So I want to get to another question from one of my all-stars, Jason, who this question is about emails. So Jason writes, for a while now, it seems that the voicemail jail has turned into the email jail. Once I do get someone on the phone, the conversation usually ends with the prospect saying something along the lines of, quote, sounds great. Send me an email with information about you and your contact info, and we'll look it over. End of quote. He asks, is that good enough, or should we press further? And so I know that there are so many people on this call who deal with this. So I'm going to address this one head on, because this is so important. So again, two things going on. One is a mindset conversation, and one is a tactical question. So let's first deal with the mindset, And then let's get into the tactically, what do you say? Because I'll give you the exact line. From a mindset perspective, what's happening, let's think about what's going on in the life of the prospect when Jason is calling that prospect. Prospect is at their office, they're doing work, they've got meetings coming up, they've got all these things, and I happen to know what Jason sells. Jason sells batteries and solar solutions for, big companies. And so he's selling to people that are busy. And so suddenly phone rings, and let's say they thought it was going to be someone else, and that's why they picked up the phone in the first place. And then they get Jason's voice, which, by the way, is a lovely voice, but it's not the voice that they were probably most excited to hear from. And Jason goes into his shtick. I know Jason follows the script exactly, but even so, the person is thinking to themselves, they're probably still sending out that email that they were working on. And so they're just saying, hey, this sounds great, but can you just shoot me an email with your information and we'll look it over and then we can reconnect, right? Why did they do that? And the answer, of course, is that they want to get Jason the hell off the phone. They want to get off this call because they're not really paying attention. They're not really engaged. And they just, it's like just a nice way of being like, can you please get the hell out of here? And that's what's happening. And that's what's happening every single time that happens. So, with that said, what does Jason now need to think about from a mindset perspective, and what does he need to do tactically? From a mindset perspective, you and everyone on this call, when that happens to you, whether it's, can you send me some information or shoot me an email, you have to hold your feet. You have to hold your ground. Because the reality is that this person is just telling you to go away. And most salespeople who say, oh, okay, sure, yeah, I'll shoot you an email with some information. And then would it be okay if I followed back up? And the person's like, oh, yeah, sure, follow back up. That's great. This is a silly scenario. And the salesperson has just gone along with it. And they know that they're just being told to take a hike. So I want you to now start taking some serious risks, Jason, and everyone on this call. I want you all to, the next time someone says, hey, can you send me some information? I want you to call out the situation for what it is. So tactically now, the question is, what do you say? And if a prospect says something to me like that, they're like, oh yeah, can you just shoot me some information and then we'll reconnect? I'd say, you know what, George, I really appreciate you saying that. But, in my experience, what I found is that usually when people say, can you just send me some information? It's a nice way of saying, I'm just not interested in this, or I just don't want to keep talking. Is that what's happening here? And see what they say. Show them that you are different. Show them that you have guts. Show them that you are willing to call the situation for what it is. By the way, it's kind of almost like a funny thing that you've just said that, right? I find that so often prospects, it suddenly like wakes them up out of their stupor and they're like, oh yeah, I know you're right. Fair enough. And then I would just go right back into my opening play. Or I'd go right back into, which if you've taken some of my courses, you'll know one of the questions I always ask is like before the call's over, I'll say, hey, you know what? Can I just ask one last question before we hang up? And they always say yes to that news. And then this is the question where you just say, if there was one thing that you could be doing better with, and then you fill in the blank with the category of business that you do. Like, so in my case, if there was one thing you could be doing better with your sales, what would it be? And I find that so often that just gets them thinking, and now they're suddenly engaged in with a conversation. But it's all about taking risks. When someone says, hey, can you send me some info? Hey, George, I really appreciate that. But usually when people ask me to send information, it's just a nice way of trying to get me off the phone. Just, can we be frank? Is that what's happening here? And often they're going to be like, oh, yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah. And then you can get into a conversation. Or they're going to be like, no, actually, I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of something right now. And now kind of where you stand. And then, by the way, the next step to that, if they say, oh, no, actually, I'm in the middle of something right now, but I would really like to talk to you, then I would say something like, well, we have so much information. when so much stuff that we could send. Can you give me a sense of just what is your biggest challenge with regards to, and then fill in the blank. And what you can find oftentimes is that now, so like in my case, I'd say, well, so, you know, I have so much stuff I could send you. Can you just give me a sense of just what is your biggest sales-related challenge? And then I'll have a better idea of what to send you. And they say, oh, well, you know, we're having issues with close rates. And now I say, well, tell me a little bit more about that. And what you can do is engage them in the conversation. You get them sucked in. They thought they were getting off, and then you suck them back in. So the other fallback is that I recommend that you use after that move is, so the first move is this a nice way of saying that you want me to take a hike? Second move is, well, I have so much stuff that I could send you just to get a better idea of what to specifically send you. What would you say is your biggest challenge with regards to, and then whatever it is that you sell, air quality, battery, in Jason's cases, you know, battery issues, whatever it is, right? So getting into that. It's about having guts. It's about taking risks. And even having a little fun, kind of like making it a game. That's what sales is. It is a big game. It's not real life. Like I always say, they're not actually shooting bullets at you. You know, take some risks. Last question I want to answer. I hope that's helpful, Jason. I'm sure it is, because I mean, Jason's killing it anyways, but I want to see him kind of up the taking that risk. And I want to see everyone doing that. So last question comes from Janet, who was at my summit not that long ago. And Janet writes, and she's a manager. So she writes, my telemarketing team has switched from how are you to did I catch you in the middle of something? And they're grumbling a little because they're getting sick of saying it. Do you have any suggestions on how to switch it up some? Or is this the best way to go? Now, the reason that I'm highlighting this question is not because I really care that much about did I catch you in the middle of something versus how are you? Although I happen to be very passionate that if you're starting any conversation with, hey, how are you? You're just coming off as a complete dork and you need to stop that. But the reason that I highlight this question is because it's about salespeople getting sick of the system. And here's the thing. We all get sick of saying the same thing over and over again. Even I do. But the reality is that the person who is receiving whatever it is that you're saying when you're following the system, it's the first time they've heard it. And so they hear it and they're like, wow, this is different. To you, you're like, oh, I've done this a million times. Like, can I mix up the questions a little? And the answer is, don't mix it up. Do the same thing. Find what works and do it over and over and over again. If you want to get creative, close a sale and buy some amazing painting equipment. You want to get creative, close a sale and buy a kit to build a boat. Like, that's going to be your outlet for creativity. A sales system is not the place to get creative. It just isn't. So again, the reason I highlight that is because I find so often that people want to, Janet happens to be in a very creative space where I'm sure her salespeople are very creative. And salespeople get sick of saying the same effective thing over and over again. So the question is really that our salespeople are asking her is they're saying like, hey, this is the most effective thing that we can do, but we're getting sick of it. Is there something less effective that we can do, but just to keep us entertained? Like, that's basically what they're saying. And that's really a kind of silly thing to say. So the answer is no, don't switch it up. If you want to provide some creativity to the group, find other ways to other outlets for creativity. But when it comes to starting a conversation, did I catch in the middle of something is going to be more effective than whatever else they come up with, because it's going to catch those people off guard. So not a tactical question as much, but again, a mindset one. You know, I speak over 100 times a year, and I give basically the same speech every time. And so often I want to mix things up, but I realize that for me to mix things up, I mean, obviously if I'm improving upon it, that's great. But if I just want to say something different, I'm not doing the audience a favor, because it's the first time they've heard it. And what I really enjoy doing is making a ton of money and then spending that time kiteboarding with my brother or doing something interesting and fun with the business, investing in something new. And that's my outlet for creativity. That's my outlet for mixing it up. But what works, don't just mix it up because we're bored with it. That's just a silly thing. So that, Janet, I hope that makes sense. I'm sure it does because I know you're kind of a no BS type of person. And I hope that makes sense for other people too. You know, you may not be managing the sales team, but you're probably thinking to yourself, oh, you know, I've made 50 calls this week and I've used the same opening that Wayshack gave me a couple months ago and just I want to switch it up. It's like, don't switch it up. Right? You were switching it up before, you were making up as you were going before, you were winging it, and it wasn't working. So you're here because you want to use what works. So follow the system. Don't think, don't create, just follow the system. The people that are most effective with my strategies, someone like Jason, who asked that question, Jason just follows the system. When I would talk to him, and he would tell me what he was doing, I'm like, wow, you're like just following the system. It's beautiful and it works. So that goes for everyone. Follow the system. And now my goal is at the end of this call that you've walked away with two, maybe three ideas that you can go implement. Maybe there are new mindsets that you've written down as you've gone through this call. Go implement. Go make things happen. Take some action as a result of what you've heard on this call. So thank you for being here. I love connecting with people and hearing your questions on the forum and then sharing the answers on this call. So if you have any other questions, just go into the forum right now and just type in your question and I'll answer it. By the way, you'll notice that I answer these questions in the forum. I type out my answer and then I bring the questions back into this if I think it's something that would be relevant to everyone and I you know, talk about them on this. So please get in there, get involved in the conversation, and then go take some action, make things happen. Thanks so much, and let's have an awesome month, and we'll reconnect next month.